Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. When was the last time you received a handwritten letter? Not a handwritten note, but a full 7-page letter written in the person's own handwriting. This is a lost art in our third millennium. In our modern age of technology, we type our letters, send emails and text messages. We stay in touch with people far away through Skype and Facebook. But a handwritten letter? It's almost non-existent today. We would rather break down and call the person on our cell phone rather than take the time to write a handwritten letter. The last time I wrote handwritten letters was when I was back in the seminary. I know that it's going to be difficult for our young people here this morning to believe, but way back in the 90s, when I was studying to be a priest, there were no cell phones, no text messages, no Facebook, no Skype. When I entered the seminary, there was no such thing as email, and by the time I was ordained, we had dial-up email with that archaic modem that made weird noises when we were connecting. We didn't even have our own telephone. There was one phone per hallway in a designated phone room, and only a limited amount of lines that came into the seminary. Can you believe we had to share the telephone? What could we do to stay connected? We wrote letters. Actual letters, 5-page, 7-page, 10-page, handwritten letters to family and friends. For one young woman I know who entered the convent last fall, writing letters is still the only way she can communicate with her family. That postulant and her family have rediscovered the art of letter writing. And you can see the letters from Sister in her beautiful Palmer Method cursive handwriting. You can probably imagine that in the ancient church, the only way they could communicate with each other was via letter. In today's first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, Peter and the Apostolic College of Bishops in Jerusalem send a letter to the church in Antioch, which is a city located in Syria, just to the north of the Holy Land. Antioch is the first place in the whole world that people who believed in Jesus were called Christians. The letter that Peter and the apostles in Jerusalem are sending to Antioch is so important that they do not send the letter via carrier pigeon, Pony Express, or FedEx. The letter is so important that they want the handwritten letter hand-delivered by Paul, Barnabas, Judas, and Silas. And when they arrive in Antioch with the letter from Peter and the College of Consultors in Jerusalem, they called the congregation together and they read the letter. And the Bible says that when they read the letter, they were delighted with the exhortation. The reading of this letter from the apostles in Jerusalem to the Christians in Antioch begins a long-standing tradition of reading the handwritten letters from the apostles during their Sunday worship of the reading of sacred scripture and the breaking of the bread. After reading from the handwritten scrolls of the Old Testament, but before they broke the bread, they would have a reading from the letters of one of the apostles. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians, a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, a reading from the letter of St. Peter, a reading from the letter of St. James. We continue this tradition every Sunday by calling the congregation together and by reading one of the letters of the apostles. Now, why did the apostles in Jerusalem write to the church in Antioch? The letter tells us. The letter says, "Some of our number who went out without any mandate from us have upset you with their teachings and disturbed your peace of mind." Apparently, some Christians started preaching the gospel in Antioch without a mandate from St. Peter and the other bishops. Still to this day, when a man comes to a local church and says, "The Pope has just appointed me your new bishop," we say, "Prove it." And the new bishop has to show the priest college of consultors the handwritten papal mandate sealed with the ring of the Pope in red wax, giving this new bishop the authority to be here by mandate of the Pope. Just as the first Pope, St. Peter, gave the mandate to Paul and Barnabas and Judas and Silas. And so some of the Christians went to Antioch without the Pope's permission and were upsetting people with false teachings that disturbed their peace of mind. That disturbed their peace of mind. I think of all the times that someone or some situation has disturbed my peace of mind. And I know when that's happened because I can't sleep at night. You know when your peace of mind is disturbed. The Christians who were teaching without a papal mandate in Antioch were disturbing their peace of mind. And the apostles did not want the peace of the Christians in Antioch to be disturbed. And so they wrote a letter. Sometimes the letters from the apostles encouraged the congregation. Other times, the letters challenged the Christians to turn away from sin and error and to live in a manner worthy of the call they have received. The apostles did not want Christians with disturbed peace of mind. And so they deliver the letter, and notice what happens. They're delighted with the exhortation, which we presume gives them peace of mind. So important is this peace of mind that at every Mass, just after we pray the Our Father, the priest says that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress. Safe from all distress. In Latin, that phrase is et ab omni perturbatione securi. Securi, secure, safe. Not from all distress, but from perturbatione, right? From all perturbance, disturbance. Trouble. All those English words come from the Latin word perturbatione. After we pray that we will be secure from all disturbance, we are immediately reminded of what Jesus says in today's gospel. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Jesus doesn't want us to be troubled or afraid. He doesn't want the world, the flesh, or the devil to disturb our peace of mind. So he comes to our rescue with the remedy: peace. His peace. A peace that only he can give. A peace which will allow us not to be disturbed or afraid. His peace will dwell in our minds and hearts so that we will never be disturbed. At my first assignment as a priest, one of my parishioners gave me a framed quote of St. Francis de Sales. And I try to look at this quote every day. I've had it with me ever since. It's really important to me. I have a copy of it in my breviary. This is what this framed print of St. Francis de Sales says. Do not lose your inward peace for anything whatsoever, even if your whole world seems upset. Commend all to God, and then lie still and be at rest in God's bosom. Whatever happens, abide steadfast in a determination to cling simply to God, trusting in God's eternal love for you. Isn't that beautiful? That's what I want. You know, at a funeral, when Jim Abbott passes out those funeral folders, that's what I want on the left side. You know, sometimes there's a kind of a silly poem over there. Tell him you want that on the left side. Don't lose your inward peace for anything whatsoever. Even if your whole world seems upset. A beautiful saintly woman said to me one time, there is chaos all around me, but not in me. There's chaos all around me, but not in me. Because deep down in the depth of my soul, I'm at peace. So commend all to God. Give it all to God. And then you can be at peace and be silent. You don't have to say anything. Just rest on the Sacred Heart of Jesus. No matter what happens, cling to the rock of Christ, trusting in his eternal love for you, because no matter what happens, he loves you, no matter what. And that love brings you peace in the depth of your soul. This is the good news that Jesus is telling us today through the handwritten words of the apostles. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. So do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid.